Okay, this is the pre-show. So the pre-show is starting. We're streaming live at shortfake.com/stream1. So everyone log in there. And if you want to chat and you're an audio file, shortfake.com/chat. If you're on WhatsApp, I think the whole world's on WhatsApp. If you want to join the Fakeologist group on WhatsApp, shortfake.com/WhatsApp. So far, not one person has joined the WhatsApp group. I know people are on WhatsApp. I think it's the world's number one messaging app. So join me there. So you can go over there. And what else? If you want texts when the show starts, send me a text at 810-666-1984 or 902-400-1984. You can email me at ima@fakeologist.com. Is there anyone, Farsfelia, is there anyone easier to get a hold of?
I can't think of anybody, Ab. You're now a psychologist. He'll get to you just about anyway.
Now, can you hear this? I want to play this because last night it wasn't working. Can you hear this? Let me play this. Oh, that's not coming through, is it?
I thought we had three.
And then it
now short.
Oh, wait.
He is in his name?
So you can't hear that, could you?
No, I don't hear anything.
Yeah. I don't know why the frickin' video's not working. I guess I haven't closed. Well, I'm going to just close my browser. So I'm going to go away for a sec. I'm going to close both browsers. So I'm going to go away and come back. So please forgive me. But this is the only way I can think of to make the audio work, because I want to maybe play audio and you're not going to hear it, but for some reason the group can hear it. Just want to see if there's anything I'm missing here on, let me try one more thing. Let me stop screen sharing. Let's screen share, without tab audio. Maybe without tab audio it'll work. There's always that possibility. So let's go here. Can you hear this now?
One of the big boys wants to see you.
Always pulls the same trick.
Video on the screen.
Sends you to three and sees you three for three.
So you can't hear the audio. Okay.
I hear you fine, of course. I'm wondering if there's something.
No, it's my problem.
Yeah. Okay.
I'll share the. I said don't share tab audio, and it's also share tab audio. Well. Okay. Let's see. Try one more time. No, didn't work.
No, heard it.
You heard something?
Lima Charlie.
Mr. Larkin to see you, JG.
Beautiful.
Well, now you can hear it. Okay. Okay. That's great. Another annoying bug washed. Okay, do you have a favorite song?
Oh, no, I don't. There's too many good songs to have just one favorite song.
Give me one good song. That's a better question, isn't it?
You put me on the spot, Ab. What would... one good song. I don't. Our tastes are a little bit divergent, so I don't know.
Well,
would be. What did I want to listen to the other day? I for some reason I got OJ's in my head, and I wanted to hear Money, for the Love of Money. Money, money, money.
No, I won't play that. I'm gonna play this one as soon as I start the stream. I think.
Okay. Well, don't ask me again. Don't ask me about a song again, because you know.
I pissed you off already. All right. Okay, here we go.
We'll be right back.
All right. Good evening, everyone. It is Thursday, July the 18th, 2024. We're starting a little late, but it's the summertime. I had to cut the weeds back so I could get into the studio because we had a couple monsoons here in Toronto. Of course, everyone here on the left, which is most of the city, calls it climate change because it's never flooded in the river valleys ever in the history of Toronto, apparently. I'm being completely sarcastic, but most people realize that you build highways and all kinds of things in floodplains. And when it really rains a lot and you're in a city that's paved over, those areas are going to flood. But no. They call it climate change, which means pay more carbon tax, which is the new world tax, which will solve all the world's climate problems, apparently, as well as making you bankrupt. So that's my little climate hoax. Of course, nobody here at Fakeologist on this show right now, I think, believes in man-made climate change. Although I'm pretty sure Farce Value, my special guest tonight, who has been on the Fakeologist platform for a long time, he's filling in for Frank. As a matter of fact, if Farce Value wanted to make regular appearances, he certainly is welcome to. So we'll welcome back to the show, maybe his fifth, sixth, seventh time, Farce Value from Austin, Texas. Hello, Farce.
Howdy, Eb. Thanks so much for having me on the show. It's awesome to be here.
All right.
I didn't realize they had made that many appearances. I only recall doing the show once or twice in the past. But
you were on recently, but you go so far back, and you're the only Clues Forum guy that's here, and that I can recall on a regular basis. And you're a regular audio chatter, and many people said Farce Value should be on the show, which this is the main marquee show where we talk about whatever the day's events are. And, so that's why you're here for sure.
And as far as the climate change goes, it turns out that make-believe problems are fairly manageable in the real world. So I guess once they have enough climate change tax money, they can start just mitigating the climate change by dialing the media down, and it'll all be better.
Yeah, exactly. Shortfake.com/chat. You can go look in that if you want Farce Value. Otherwise, Restream has its own chat, which integrates my YouTube channel, my Twitter channel, which I now have to pay for, which I don't resent because it's a business and they're trying to make money. And we also have DLive. And of course, we have FakeoTube, which is our video platform. That is helped fund by people like Farce Value, who has definitely contributed in the past. And so we have a multitude of places to chat, Farce Value.
So the shortfake.com takes me to a Chat Tango page that's blank.
Yes, that is the right place to be. And it shouldn't be blank.
As far as the climate change goes, I don't see any place to enter a comment or see a comment. So I don't know.
Okay, maybe it's scrolled off the bottom. Try and because if your window is off the bottom of your screen, you might not see it. So the last thing you should see is buzzing frets, and then you should see a text box underneath. But yeah, you're in the right place. It's the Chat Tango page.
Fakeologist.chattango.com.
That is correct.
Maybe I'll just click on this Android app. Nope, it's not there. Yeah, I just got a blank page. I don't know.
Oh, wait. You might want to go on the desktop. On the desktop, you can see it better.
No, I'm on a desktop right now.
Okay. Monitor, and I can't really troubleshoot it from here.
But That's fine.
I can tell you that Buzzing Frets is there. He likes it.
Mm-hmm.
He says, great to hear Farce. Dave J is saying hi. And he said, why is it the audio professionals, video maker, podcasters seem to have all the problems? Regular nutters seem to have better setups. Well, that's kind of funny. Yeah, I think almost everyone has technical problems when it comes to computers. They're just that annoyingly difficult to use for some people.
Well, Dave J had something to say.
I think he's one of your biggest fans.
Yeah, for people who like other people with mashed potatoes between their ears, I would say he would be a fan of somebody like that.
All right, Not Shock says, hello, y'all, and he's very glad you stepped in tonight. So thank you, Farce, for stepping in. You did step up. I put the call out on our Discord at shortfake.com/Discord. And if you are wondering why you keep hearing the word shortfake.com, that's because it's my URL shortener. So that's my domain that has little keywords like AOL used to at the end of it. So if you go to shortfake.com/ one of the millions of things that I've set up, you will find all kinds of fakeologist sites since we are spread all over the place on Discord, on Gilded. Just plug in a name that makes a word that makes sense and it'll probably take you to that specific link. So that's me being independent of the other platforms. Well, almost everyone here wants to talk Trump. And tonight, according to the Fakeologist blog, where I've put a link, there is talk that tonight is his last night on this planet. Because the other event that happened last Saturday was just a warm-up, a prequel. Have you heard of this theory that the Trump assassination will occur on July 18th? The guy said originally it was the 17th, but he forgot about the leap year.
Oh, yeah, that leap year, that'll trip you up every time in your prognostications.
Yeah.
I've had that issue before, and yeah, I took a big hit on a stock market once upon a time because of leap year and had to learn my lesson the hard way.
Oh, is that right, huh? Okay, well, this is martinverdland.nl, and he's predicted tonight. Tonight's the night, and Trump comes up to do his talk at 9:09. Couldn't be any other time. Has to be a double nine in there. What do you think of that?
Well, they do like the numbers, so it would appear. I think there were numbers involved last week on the 13th. I can't remember them all. I've kind of got a little it's not fatigue necessarily, or just a lack of motivation. I'm outsourcing all the rabbit hole work that I can just wait, and there's enough people that are have more interest and diligence than I do now that turn up all the Easter eggs and the little nuggets and all the strange anomalies and the names and all the oddball connections and dropped balls and things that are unexplainable and wouldn't happen normally, but somehow every time one of these big events happens, dozens of oddball things that would never happen except when they do in these situations. It seems to be the case.
This is the YouTube site of Associated Press. There are now 145,000 people on this one particular channel waiting for the Trump speech, which will be streamed right here on YouTube. And their chat is going insane. So it's pretty interesting. This is
are you dropping links in the restream?
Where I normally drop links is at fakeologist.blog, and I drop them in the show notes, which are just part of the blog post. So if you go to fakeologist.blog, you will see today's show notes, and I'll put this link to the YouTube channel where 146,924 people are waiting for Trump to speak tonight. So everyone here wants to know your take on what happened. And they know my take. Let's get your take. You've been into media fakery, psyops, for a long time.
Well, I think I'm probably and pretty much in alignment with what most people here think. I would imagine that the entire event, we'll say, was a stage play, a theater, just theater with some in front of a live audience, evidently. I had heard somewhere that it was suggested that the crowd was kind of small and contained, but then I did see some video clips that looked like there were quite a few people at the event. But I haven't really dug into it to get a good feel of the physical environment, but it did look like there was a fair amount of separation between what, like, the larger portion of the crowd could be, and the stage and the immediate area around the stage could probably be fairly easily cordoned off. And from what we saw, we heard some pops, and he grabbed his ear and disappeared for a couple of seconds and came back with some red liquid on his ear and face, and did a bunch of photo op iconic poses. The first one that caught my eye was the one that was reminiscent of Iwo Jima, and I wasn't the only one that noticed that similarity. A lot of people have made that connection, that it sort of had, although somebody did call attention to the fact that the flag is upside down. In the new version of, I call it Cheeto Jima. I don't know if that's going to catch on, but we'll give it a shot.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, there was a lot of photo op and posing, and then the whole defiant fist in the air, and you know, the fight, all this kind of stuff, and the flag, and it was very, very theatrical. A lot of really good opportunities for perfectly blocked shots that looked very well rehearsed. I don't think there were any live bullets, unless we want to count the one that was captured in mid-flight, which I did look at Silas Gauthier's video today on the breakdown of the...
Oh, yeah, what was that about? And I wanted to watch that. I had way too many things on the go today.
Yeah, Miles Mathis covered it in his recent article about the shooting, just breaking down the speed of bullets and the particular round that they're saying it was shot, and shutter speeds of camera. And I think Miles was more or less dismissing the idea that if, in fact, the guy had been lucky enough to capture that in that way, that it wouldn't have been nearly as long, considering the speed it was traveling, with the shutter speed, just basic math, calculating the length of the supposed trail. But Silas went further, and he had found some gentleman that had I don't remember the model numbers of the camera. It was a Nikon high-speed camera that's made sort of to capture hummingbird wings and stuff, maybe bullets in flight and that sort of thing. So it has shutter speeds that are four times what who was that guy? What's his Doug Mills? I'm probably getting his name
wrong. That's right. That's right.
Doug Mills. The one that captured the iconic Bush reading
Pandy card whispering to Bush's ear. Another ear reference.
Then I guess this Doug Mills also was around during the Clinton era and had some iconic Chelsea Clinton, Monica Lewinsky, rather, and Clinton photos or something. Yeah, so he's part of the whole perception management mill team that puts out imagery to, you know, sort of influence the way people think and then behave as a result of how they're thinking. But so Silas just sort of... I think the way the guy that captured a few, he shot like 21,000 or 20,000 some odd frames and managed to catch three or four actual bullets in the frame. And then he found that to have a better chance of capturing the bullet, he had to be a little further away. And then so... Silas just explained how the guy that was shooting was way too close and the camera didn't have the speed, and he just broke it down into the odds of him capturing a bullet like that was, in, you know, 0.0x%, like near impossible. And of course, we all know that it's just photoshopped and presented as real. I mean,
I will put a link to this, Silas Speak. I should have maybe got him on too. I should get all content creators that are talking Trump, because this is going to go a while, especially if tonight we get an extra story out of the whole thing. Of course, if it's lights out for Trump tonight, then the whole world is going to go nuts.
I feel like this would be a first, because doesn't this happen pretty frequently that they sort of ramp up the predictions of follow-up things, and it just never seems to materialize, and people have all these clues about additional dates and things that I don't know. The prognostication seems very hit or miss in my experience.
So this video is going to be a follow-up to my last video, and I've been digging quite deeply into all of this entire event, and well, it appears now to be absolutely staged, and I have the proof of that, and we're going to go through that proof.
I'll put a link to this in the show notes, just so anyone who wants to check it out. Silas Speaks is also a regular on Fakeologist Discord as well, as you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll watch that. He also did another one on his Odyssey channel. That was 34 minutes 3 days ago. Did you watch that one?
No, I haven't seen that one yet.
So this will be my breakdown of the Trump assassination attempt. I waited a day before compiling my findings, as I prefer to let the dust settle on an event before I conduct my analysis, as the moment carries with it hysteria and emotionally charged headlines.
He actually does a really good job with his videos. Beautiful graphics.
Yes, it's good content.
Yeah. Everyone go to...
Just real quick, Ab, now, if you said wherever you're dropping, like I'm on the blog right now, and I hate to bore
people. No, it's not boring.
It would be nice if every, because so I see the title of our thing at the top of the blog right now, but you said there's a show notes?
Well, as we're talking, I add the notes, so you should refresh your page.
Oh, okay.
It's not dynamic. There's no dynamic loading of
okay,
it.
Okay,
so.
I got you. All right, so I'll refresh it periodically.
Yeah, you know, the funny thing is, we always had to do this, but we're so accustomed to the new apps that just push the data to us.
Mm-hmm.
We're not in our old habits. And I know you've been on the internet a long time too. So there's many things we had to do to make web pages work.
Well, I was curious to see the AP YouTube commentary. You said you had dropped that somewhere, but
yeah, you can see it now, I think, right?
Well, I see Trump shooting, Fakeologist forums, at the Silas Speaks, and a couple of, but I don't see anything about AP or whatnot.
You don't see the YouTube
on
video?
On the blog.
You don't see the YouTube video?
Okay. That's never mind. It wasn't a link. I got you.
Well,
you could probably hear that, right, when I played it.
The blog, well, the first of all, there's no audio because it hasn't started yet. The audio on...
When I clicked the play button, I heard something.
Okay.
They're playing some, pre-show.
Are they? Okay, that's cool. Let me see that.
Right, but, yeah.
Oh, yeah, we got, what's his name there? Tucker.
Billions bombing the Ho Chi Minh Trail. You don't see our commander-in-chief suggesting that we use our military to protect our country. Or the lives of its citizens? No! That's for Ukraine. And it's too much, actually. It's too insulting.
Is this the best show on TV right now? This presidential thing? Now, you're a technical guy. You're a sound guy. You go to conventions and all that. I thought maybe you might have an idea of how they may have faked the whole Trump assassination event, because PK at Fakeologist Forums, fakeologistforums.com, just go look up Trump shooting. PK did some really good background evaluation. He was looking at the crowd and behind the stage, and he saw a couple things that were strange. Number one, when they told everyone to evacuate, the crowd behind the stage didn't leave.
Right.
He saw that two different shots of the crowd behind the stage were different. There was one or two consistent people, but they moved and everyone else was different.
Mm-hmm.
So he's found quite a few anomalies, I guess Easter eggs or continuity errors. So, and he also, one more thing he said, there's at most rallies or all the rallies he evaluated, there's no tents in behind the setup, the stage. So he thought that might be consistent with feeding and watering crisis actors.
I don't know if I would make that particular claim. I may have been on events with tents. Tents are pretty common for a large scale outdoor events, whether they're for refreshments or green room or registration.
Yeah.
I don't know. It could be a variety of things. So I don't know if I would. But there were some interesting things about the broadcast. Now, I had to look around for a while. Somebody posted a few things to get long, contiguous footage of the whole event. And then somebody finally posted like an hour-long clip or something with the people speaking before Trump and then his talk. And one of the things that I did find interesting is that, you know, they have the big LED wall screens out there that they're normally using for, we abbreviate image magnification with IMAG in the industry. We call it IMAG when you have the camera on the person speaking and you put their image on the big screen so the people that are, you know, 200 yards away can see their expressions.
Yeah, that's a really great thing for concerts too. It's
sure, yeah. And well, that's an, you know, just a quick tangent here, and I've noticed that at the events that I do all the time, because that's what I do. I'm always working with cameras and big screens.
Yeah.
And I've noticed in many, many cases, and this kind of came into some of the 9/11 arguments we were having over the past few years, that at a big, large-scale event with, you know, 3,000-4,000 people in a room, the big screens, I can be in a position where I can see the audience and I can look and there's people that are right in front of the stage, almost directly in front of the podium, and they're watching the screen.
Yeah.
They're not watching the person that's right in front of them.
Isn't that crazy?
There's something about screens that just draws the eye. I'm not exactly sure what it is.
It's the frequency, I guess, the scanning.
Yeah, it could be, and any given event, I would say
that's fascinating.
Well over half of the number of people are in the audience. Now, sometimes you're going to do that just because you're too far away, but I mean, many, many times I'll notice people that are very close and they watch the screen instead of watching which, you know, right in front of their face. And when Trump started speaking, and just directly before the pops and whatnot, he started referencing, I think it was some figures about immigration, and he put slides up on the screen. So the broadcast feed cut to the slide content with a small picture-in-picture window of up in the right-hand corner, that maybe occupying an eighth of the screen. And, you know, that was when the shooting happened in the little tiny window. It was the bigger part of the screen was occupied by the slide with the statistics and stuff. So I don't know if that was on all the broadcasts. That was on one of the ones that I saw. And I just thought that was kind of interesting. And, you know, considering that people do have a tendency to look at the screens, if that was occurring in the live situation for, you know, obviously if there's 10,000 people there, however many, I don't know how many were there, they're probably not all crisis actors and all in on the inside operators, whatever. But probably a lot of their attention right at the moment was directed toward the big screens, looking at the statistics. And it might have been a little harder also to see on the broadcast when the live action is happening in a window that's a tenth of the size of what it was a few seconds prior. It was just an interesting little thing I noticed. I wouldn't say that's proof positive of anything, but not a bad way to handle some sleight of hand type stuff with video in the audience.
Well, Ed Kiley in the YouTube chat said if the people behind Trump were actors for hire, they were possibly taking directions from their cell phones or monitors. Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, perhaps. You know, one thing about the world today, and anyone that's outside of their basements, goes out of their house and goes in the real world today, I've been guilty of this long before the iPhone came out because I've always had the latest technology. And that is, people are looking down at their black cubes 24/7. If a car crashed in front of a bus stop, almost nobody would notice until it happened. In other words, they wouldn't see the cars approaching because they're all looking at their their black cubes. And I don't know if you go to concerts. Well, you are at concerts. How many people are playing on their phone with their speakers up on the podium or just looking at their phones?
It's interesting you should mention that, and I'll give a hat tip to another channel. You and some of your, particularly musician or maybe content creators, might be familiar with the Rick Beato channel. He's a kind of studio engineer, record producer that has a really great YouTube channel for recording tips, songwriting, playing. He's got great interviews. But in one of his more recent videos, he was talking about looking at concert footage from the 90s.
Right.
And said that you'll notice a big difference between then and today is people, they're engaged with the stage. In the grunge scene, they might be in mosh pits and, you know, involved with each other in the stage. But nowadays, you look at a concert, and it's exactly like you said. Everyone is on their phone. So it's and he thinks that's had an impact on performance and music in general, I think. And I would tend to agree.
How far back is that video?
I'll see if I can find it. I just came across it recently, but I get fed these things and I don't know if they're sequential. So,
he's got a lot of stuff. I'm showing his YouTube page now.
Yeah, it's a really good channel for anybody that's, especially if you're, you know, recording and songwriting, that sort of thing, but just generally getting good sound and, any kind of.
He gets a lot of hits. He gets a lot of hits, it seems like. 3 weeks ago, 2.8 million views. The real reason why music is getting worse. So he's very popular. I can see that.
That might have been it. I think the one was titled, like, What Happened to Music Between 94 and Today or something. Which, it's hard to believe, but that's 30 years. And
let's play a bit of it.
Hey, everybody, I'm Rick Beato. We're going to try something new today. This video is on the history of the music business and technology in two acts. Act one.
I love
how music is too easy to make. What do I mean by music is too easy to make? Let's just go back to the 1940s and 50s. Frank Sinatra used to get up in front of an orchestra and sing a vocal take, and they had one microphone. And they would get it balanced just right. Frank would say, okay, I'm ready to do it. And he'd sing it.
Come fly with me. Let's float down to Peru.
Then you get into the 1960s or so, and then you have things where you have multi-track machines.
Does this sound like what you were talking about?
That's not the particular episode. I don't know how far afield you want to get with this. But
no, I want to stay on Trump.
Yeah, so
I'll put a link to the channel here. Because I think it's really worth watching too. The guy's super smart.
It's a great channel. So what else about the Trump? I did notice, and even people in my own life that I feel like, especially as long as I've been doing this, and people they reach milestones, but they. They backslide, I guess I might want to say. And so, like, they're very willing to accept these things at face value on the first day. And I think Silas mentioned it in his video, and it's similar to what I said. I just like to wait a few days until all the Easter eggs start coming in about, yeah, I call it the second shooter, so the grassy knoll or whatever. That's it, yeah. There's always that other element of the conspiracy thing that I am fully convinced that they seed and make part of the narrative from the very beginning. They're going to have the mainstream story, the lone gunman, Oswald, and then you got the grassy knoll and the CIA or the mafia and the Cubans. And
by the way, and on and on. Just to interrupt real quick in the FakoTube chat, Not Shock says Silas thinks the shooting was real. Oops. Is that what he's... Did you get that out of the video? Is that what you got? Is that correct?
That video you just played, I think he makes very clear in that video that it's staged, a hoax, that there's no blood, no bullet. I don't know.
Okay. What are you talking about?
I'm really
about?
Curious how he would have got that impression.
But, yeah, Not Shocked. What are you talking about? Okay. Well, there are two videos, so maybe the first one he thought it was real. Who knows?
But, okay. Yeah, it's like, and I think, I don't know what people think about Miles Mathis, whether he's
I like him.
A committee or a single person. I don't know, but I generally appreciate his take on a lot of this stuff. And
me too.
And he goes into the personalities, and that's one thing that you notice in every single one of these things. It's just never some random anonymous, Joe Everyman that does these things. They always have some connection to some high level person in banking, military, government, just like I guess anybody could potentially be featured in a BlackRock commercial, but it's just on top of all the other things that have happened over the years where these connections are always evident with all the players. They're connected to Hollywood, or they have acting reels, or their father is in the FBI, or their ex-CIA, whatever it is. It's just never an ordinary person.
Right.
And then the other interesting thing was the supposed victim. They have a tribute at the fire department. They published a photo of with the memorial, and the name is misspelled on the back of his jacket. I have to ask myself whether these are mistakes or they're just intentionally put in front of our faces to make people double down on the level of absurdity that they accept, or it's just a joke, just like a wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Let's see if they'll buy it. I'm not exactly sure what the motivation is, but that's another thing too. We've talked about the idea that somebody died. Once people have accepted the fact that there was an actual death in these events, they're very reticent to question the authenticity of it. There's some sort of line of social convention that people are very hesitant to cross when it comes to questioning whether anybody died or whether the event was real, or just in case if somebody actually did die, then by claiming they didn't, you're showing a huge lack of respect or insensitivity. I don't know. But I just think that in a situation like this, number one, if the guy was actually a fireman working at this fire department, would he have just taken a jacket with his name misspelled and said, that's fine, don't worry about it? I mean, maybe. But then in the memorial, you think they could have, I don't know, put a patch on it or something with the correct spelling. It's just off. I don't know. But I don't know if you have any thoughts on that, but I just find it tremendously odd.
Yeah, that's... Is that an Easter egg, or is that just a mistake that we caught, or it's just a continuity error? Again, we find all these problems with the official story by doing a little bit of digging, or is this a second-class production? Is it a rush production? After all, they're producing this quite quickly, these events. Presidential
well,
events
are, the problem with that is that I don't know if you noticed. I saw this on IPS channel, the July 1st issue of The Atlantic.
Yes.
There was an article with the Supreme Court and whatnot that was it was almost to the letter predictive programming of the right ear with a notch in the top and the red curtains reminiscent of blood dripping down Trump's face and all this sort of thing. So it's hard to say it's a rush job when there's that level of predictive programming happening in advance. And then somebody else posted another movie called Thine Ears Will Bleed with a picture of a bleeding ear on it. And I'm sure if people start scouring media, we'll find other instances of prediction. Now, I asked a question on the blog the other day, and some people kind of tended to agree with my hypothesis, perhaps, that I don't know if there's enough fakeologist researchers out there to dig up these predictive programming nuggets. I don't know if people have subscriptions to The Atlantic or if they see it at the grocery store checkout line and they just happen to remember it, or if these things are directed to our attention by operatives to make sure that we do see the elements of predictive programming for some reason. I mean, they put it out there, so they want it to be seen. I'm just, because I know personally, I don't spend enough time browsing various corners of the internet to come across all these nuggets, coincidence, if you want to call it that. I think it's far beyond coincidence at this stage. So there were a few people that responded with thinking the idea that, yeah, they may be intentionally directed toward our attention for some reason. But, yeah, that would indicate at least a fair amount of advanced planning. So I don't know if I buy mistakes necessarily. Although I am in the business of live events, and there's always an element in a live situation of things that can happen. You can't account for everything, and in a live situation, there's no do-overs. You don't get a mulligan. Once it happens, and then it's printed to tape. You can't undo it, call it back. So there could be mistakes.
Yes, for sure. What's your take on the whole Biden situation? Since Trump inevitably brings us to politics, the latest is that the ground is disappearing under his feet. He's going to be out.
Well, that seems to be the direction of the narrative.
Mm-hmm.
I'm of the opinion that the whole political system is in a completely compartmentalized and air-gapped, hermetically sealed, say, from any particular influence by the public to steer it in a particular direction. The way I have seen it work over time, the way I think it works, is they set their agenda and make a decision, and then through these various psyops, they sort of drag the media along with the agenda by massaging their points of view through this, what I just call the media perception management. I don't know if it may be a little bit more than perception, because it's actually influencing the way people's worldview and whatnot. So, whether I don't think there's the president has any real influence on the agenda. They're not elected. They're not in any way, shape, or form responsible to voters, constituents. So they're going to, if they change the mascot for whatever reason, that's their agenda. And it does seem to be like that the narrative is moving in that direction now. On one of the chats recently, I was talking to someone that they mentioned Rob Reiner and Stephen King talking about.
Yeah, No Agenda Show.
Oh, I didn't hear it there. It was on one of the calls, on one of the Discord calls.
Oh, right. I brought that up because Scott Adams brought that up.
So, yeah, when those two, like, just over-the-top Trump-deranged people are kind of singing that song, it to me, that just says, well, okay, the memo has gone out.
The memo, yeah.
And now the narrative is going to flip. John LeBron brought it up on one of the calls, how the narrative seemed to flip on a dime a few weeks back. I guess it was the debate is where it flipped. But, I mean, this guy, he's been a gaffe machine on repeat for years now.
It's funny.
And then you go back, that's the thing, that you go back into the first time I ever heard about Biden in probably the early 80s. Was because he was caught plagiarizing a speech, and then they had done the 60 Minutes thing when he was running. He might have been running for president back then, and they had exposed the fact that he had lied about his CV and his college record and his degree and all these other things. He was caught and dead to rights and exposed to a pretty wide audience, and it had. I was going to say zero effect, but not even that. He ended up being, elevated to the highest position in the land, if you want to call it that, whatever.
Yeah.
So how much more do you really need to know about how authentic the system is? Like any other, honest, but a business or something that relied on good faith, customer service, reputation, all that sort of thing would have a person in a position of high visibility that was had taken such hits to his reputation and image that they would keep in place for the next 50, 60 years, whatever. It's just, it wouldn't happen. So that's one of the reasons that I'm so sort of outspoken on the idea that this whole system is, it's so far removed from what we're told it is. And, I don't really look at there being any like competition per se between Trump and Biden or any real difference. It's all centrally managed from someplace above them. I think it should be pretty obvious by now, but maybe we still have a ways to go before it becomes that obvious.
Yeah, it is. It's quite the distraction, isn't it? It really takes everyone's energy. In your world, is anything else being discussed besides this?
I don't get out much.
Well, in real life, yeah, when you're out in your...
But I do, yeah, I have. I mean, I haven't brought it up to anybody other than, some of the discussion. And we approach it from a different angle here. Although I have sort of heard the idea that there are a lot of people out there that are sort of questioning the authenticity of the event and whether he actually did get shot. Now, they have maybe different ideas about who might stand to benefit, who might have orchestrated it or why, and the idea that it was staged, that it wasn't a real lone wolf type of grassroots whack job that picked up a rifle and shot the guy. But And one thing that's it's kind of given me a little bit of I don't know if I call it optimism or some amusement at least is the there's been a couple of I think Jan Erik posted one and I saw another one that was different. They look like maybe African like you know continental from the continent of Africa people shooting these parody videos of the event where they're like cutting in crowds of a soccer game and they have four or five guys.
Where did you see this?
Oh, it's posted on the blog here somewhere. One of them was Jan Erik. I don't know if it's in the memes.
Discord and, you're talking about.
Yeah, on Discord. I say blog, but I spend most of my time on the Discord.
Okay, let's everyone know, shortfake.com/Discord. To get on our Discord, you have to voice verify. That's an extra little step you got to make. I'm going to show everyone our Discord right now. And you can take a look at what Forest Valley is talking about. We have a lot of technology. We use all of it at Fakeologist. shortfake.com/Discord. So that would have been a meme.
Yes. And I just find it to be hilarious that it seems like the, possibly more less than first world, third world people are just poking fun at the whole idea and calling it out as being fake and making a big joke out of it. I think that's... I don't know. I look at that as a positive somehow. So, you know, I'll be glad to see more of that.
Right. Yeah, some pretty good memes here. People love their memes. Anyone wants to call in and talk to Forest Valley, you can call us 810-666-1984. This is our Discord. We have many text channels in there. We have an audio chat. Tonight we had an audio chat for about half an hour. That was pretty good. Yeah, lots of stuff there.
I did post over on the Discord channel that an interesting thing to do when you look at these things is to watch the, and people have already noticed this, is to watch the audience members, instead of focusing on Trump when the things happen and you hear the pops and you watch him grab his ear, just find one or two audience members and just focus on them.
Yes.
And see how they react. There's one guy in particular that I kind of thought was interesting, and he kind of puts his hands on his knees and he's squatting and he's got a real stern look on his face and he's looking back and forth, kind of out in the far distance, like, I don't know, like maybe like a goalie waiting for the next kick to come into the goal and which direction it's going.
It almost makes it seem like the audience was filmed on their own without Trump there as a pre-record.
It's hard to say, you know.
Because their reaction was not as it should have been. So if they were just told, okay, here are the shots, and react, and there was just a director telling them what to do, maybe that explains a lot of their odd behavior.
Well, they weren't on the same page, it didn't appear to me. Like, some of them didn't seem to react at all.
Yeah.
Others got down, others stood up, shuffled around a little bit. Some people looked confused. So, you know, it's and I think on the Discord somewhere too, somebody posted a surveillance camera of a real shooting on a busy street. And people just they take cover, they run, they get the hell out of the way, they don't linger. If there's gunshots, they don't want to be anywhere where they're exposed to where they could be the next person to get shot. They don't just sort of wait and see. Maybe I'll just sit here for a minute and see what happens. But yeah, there seemed to be a lot of that going on.
Yeah, Paulie, you can join the restream, shortfake.com/restream. Anyone can call in, but Paulie, if you want to join in, shortfake.com/restream, and we'll let you in. Just let me know when you get there. I should be able to see you or hear you. And a good crowd today. We have 21 people listening on X. And I got my first X comment yesterday. I always wondered who's listening. And we had one guy on X.com or Twitter.com leave a comment. I guess you can comment in whatever it's called, spaces or whatever they call their audio. So thanks so much. And we have YouTube and DLive and, of course, Shortfake. And maybe I should answer a Dave J question real quick. You got the chat open there at shortfake.com/chat. We can answer a question. Dave J's asked a few. First question, if government is a central caste, should real people work to lobby the government to put food between their dirty cheeks? You spelled there wrong, by the way, Dave, but that's okay. Or what does Farce think of government or its need? Or if someone's family depends on the corpse called government for income, should they bite the hand that literally feeds them or should they remain silent? So there's three questions.
Well, it's kind of, I mean, I think somewhere in the neighborhood of maybe 50% of the population is in some way dependent on government for their remuneration or whatnot, not whether they're directly employed by the government or they work for General Dynamics or Raytheon or whatever, or maybe they're in a city where they have these manufacturing plants and they have a restaurant that services General Dynamics and Raytheon. It's kind of like an omelet that can't really be unscrambled, but I just have a few issues with the whole, start with the idea of representation. I think it breaks down to like each representative represents 750,000 people. So like I spent a fair part of my life as a professional musician. I had agents that were representing me and booking myself and my bands. And if I were to get an agent and say, hey, I want you to help me get signed. I want you to look after me, help me do some management, make correct decisions. And he'd say, yeah, you're on my roster of 750,000 people. So just keep that in mind when I don't pick up the phone or, I don't answer your emails for 6 months, that I have 750 other people in acts that I represent personally by myself. I might think, I don't know if this is a good idea. Maybe I ought to look for another agent.
Mm-hmm.
Or the fact that government has an opposite set of moral obligations than everyone else has. So in order for government to operate, it relies on taxes, which they are extracted by force. People pay taxes because they're scared. They have lines in the IRS forms if you want to send extra money in taxes, and Warren Buffett or people come out and they talk about how they think X, Y, or Z should be paid more taxes or how they're under tax. And it's like, yeah, go ahead, pay more if you want to pay more. Anybody can pay more. They let you pay more. If you want to pay more, go ahead, but nobody does. They pay because they're scared, because they use the threat of violence to extract money from people in a form of taxation. And they use that money to do things themselves that they say are illegal for everyone else. And the idea is that we vote and we delegate these things that we are not allowed to do, morally, legally, whatever. So how does that work? Like, if I cannot go and pepper spray you and restrain you and put you in a cage because you have a plant in your pocket that I disapprove of, if I get all my neighbors to agree with me that we should be able to do that, then we vote and that makes it okay? How does that work? I don't know how it works. So I just need someone to explain to me how, just because 10 people agree on a particular course of action, that makes it okay. more, no matter what it is.
There we go. So first, we got Pauly that just joined in. Pauly, can you hear us?
Yeah, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yeah, thanks for calling in. You're on the air with Fakeologist and Farce Value.
All right, on. Oh yeah, have you
called in before?
Yeah, I talked to you once on the All Shots Clot.
Oh right, yeah. Welcome again to the Fakeologist show, which is All Shots Clot's taking a vacation thanks to Trump.
Yeah, this is like the first story in a while that I've actually tuned into because it's just too big to.
It's too big to ignore.
Yeah.
And it's not going away.
Yeah, and it's obviously leading to something bigger, so.
Yes.
But, I wanted to just comment on something that Farce had said earlier.
Yeah.
When he was talking about it, maybe like it's intentionally showing as fake, or they're intentionally doing it to draw people in or something like that.
Go ahead. Is that right, Farce? Did you hear that?
I'm thinking maybe he was referring to what I call Easter eggs, like the fact that the guy's name was misspelled on his jacket, although that's pretty widely published and pretty obvious, but like the Atlantic cover that has a pretty accurate representation of what happened on the day of the event that was published 2 weeks in advance as sort of a foreshadowing, predictive programming.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I wouldn't have stumbled across that myself, but there may be fakeologists in the community that might have, but I wonder sometimes if there are Mr. Smiths, say, in their community that make sure that we see those things that were put out in advance, so we do make the predictive programming connection. For some reason, I don't know. I'm not at the boardroom at the big table where they make these decisions, so I don't know. But I think it's possible that they sort of seed these various conspiracies and coincidences when they're conceptualizing the event in the beginning. They're not just random.
Yeah. Do you think that they will, I think people are talking about in August sometime, they're going to actually take him out. He's going to get an eye wound or something. Have you heard about that?
Who is this?
Oh, people are saying that they're actually going to take Trump out sometime in August with an eye wound.
Well, I heard 8-4.
Yeah.
Jurassic Liars has been saying 8-4. And he said, if it's not this 8-4, it might be next year. So. Oh. Yeah, he really hedges himself pretty good. But I'm hearing tonight by the guy in Holland there.
Well, you're a little bit ahead of me, so we don't have much time left. There's
you got about an hour.
Well, 3.5 hours until midnight, your time, right? Or no, my time.
Well, it's 9:09 Central, so in half an hour, Trump comes on.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then I'm just not of the opinion that these I look at the politics more like a theatrical production, and Larry Hagman wasn't taken out in back of the studio and shot when they shot JR or whatever. Pick your whoever the actor is. Like if Trump does get quote taken out, he'll be retired from the stage, but I don't think he will actually be killed by someone. This is, I don't know. I don't really think these events happen in real life the way they're portrayed to us. I just look at it as a big stage play.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think it's all just, I'm starting to think that most of the government organizations are actually just like little acting troops, and that's basically what they do. They go out and they run their little theatrical deceptions because they're certainly not doing what they say they're doing.
Too insulting. It's a middle finger.
Sorry. Someone said, well, Hulk Hogan is speaking. You got to be kidding me.
Of course,
the Twin Towers. He's going to bring down the Twin Towers. Did he do that?
Never mind. It is what it is, Hulk Hogan. You got to be kidding.
Over my career, I've been in the ring with some of the biggest, some of the baddest dudes on the planet. And I've squared off against warriors. Ooh, yeah, savages. And I've even, like I said, body slammed giants in the middle of the ring.
How old is this guy now? Guys,
but let me tell you something, brother. Donald Trump is the toughest of them all. They've thrown everything at Donald Trump. All the investigations, the impeachment.
Let me tell you, this is the best show on TV right now. You can't make this stuff.
If you enjoy lowbrow, I guess it's all right.
Well, is that most of America? I mean,
you remember Hulk Hogan in the Twin Towers, right? Surely.
Well, I didn't follow worldwide wrestling, but yeah, I'm aware. There's a couple. There's some narrative there for sure.
Yeah, there was. I don't know if it was a dynamic duo wrestling tag team or whatever, but they call themselves the Twin Towers, and he had a big, you know, press thing where he was talking about how he's going to take down the Twin Towers, and this was in the time leading up to 9/11. So this just shows me that he's like one of those, what they call him, lifetime actors, whatever. He's a player on the stage. It's employed.
He's very important. He's a very important influencer.
It's hard to imagine why, but I won't argue that maybe he is. It's odd, but yeah, the whole, I don't know. I just have to. Oh my gosh, man! I just glanced over at the YouTube channel. They drop some coin on these events for sure. I mean, this is a
high production value, isn't it?
A high dollar AV bill on this, I can tell you from somebody in the industry. This is no joke, man.
It's excellent, high quality video. The audio is very good. Yeah, it's unbelievable.
Yeah, the set pieces. It's not. They're not messing around here. They're dropping some coin on this.
This is a real Trump love fest. I mean, you couldn't have done any better pre-selling with last Saturday's event. And of course, I think this is going to be a new fashion accessory, the ear bandage. What do you think?
is he still wearing it?
I think he is tonight.
I guess he sort of has to. It'd be kind of pointless for him to go out without the bandage. You know?
Yeah,
it's a big part of the narrative now. It's just, I mean, if you step a few paces back from the narrative and get just a moderate bird's eye view, it's so contrived. It's like you wag the dog kind of stuff. You know, we do see these sort of things in movies, and maybe that is part of that revelation of the method, where sort of softens people up to have the idea that they saw it in a fictional movie, and when they're watching it on the quote news or in for real, it's not the same. But it's just as cheesy and ham-handed and contrived. I don't see how this could be any more contrived. I guess maybe that's one of my, I don't know, complaints. I'm thinking maybe the level of sophistication and keeping the political scam going is deteriorating over time. And for somebody like me that's been looking into it, it's almost like when my dad used to reach behind my ear and pull a nickel out from behind it when I was like 4. And I would wonder how he did that. I'm kind of watching that here, and I don't know what more to say about it. It's going to take the course that it does, and that's going to be whatever they want and feel like they can get away with. Which is interesting because if you look up the dictionary definition of legitimate, that's pretty much what it means. Whatever they can get away with is, quote, legitimate.
All right. Well, we've been going about an hour. This is about as long as the show normally goes. And Dave J is having a good time in the chat. I think I made the chat just for Dave J. He's making on the fly comments. So appreciate everyone commenting. And there we go. That's the audio you hear there. Paul, you got any more questions before we wrap it up?
Not really. It's just, I think they're intentionally ramping up the absurdity and ramping up how obvious it is to kind of draw people into it, because people are attached now to these narratives so emotionally that I think they can kind of do anything, and they can make it as absurd as it can get. And I think people are going along with it at this point. I mean, I'm pretty sure they could bring back the COVIDs again tomorrow.
Really?
People would definitely fall for it, yeah.
No matter what they called it, I guess, huh?
Yeah, whatever it is.
I did pass a driver and passenger in a car today wearing masks.
Well, they probably never took them off since 2020.
That was my assumption.
Yeah, they go to bed with them. Yeah, I do see them. I saw them at Costco today. There's a few. A lot of employees, they think they can get the COVIDs, I guess, from all their customers there. Well, if there's no counter-narrative for these people, if they're not hearing, if they're not on fakeologist.com, then where else would they get any counter-narrative about the masks? Nowhere. So we got to give them at least a slight break that they just don't know that there are many people that don't know or don't access the internet like we do. They go to their favorite mainstream media sites that they've always gone to for the last 20 years, however long the internet's been on, 30 years. So whether they be magazines or their favorite TV stations that migrated to the internet, and they're never, ever straying off the reservation. They're definitely not typing in links. They go to Google first. Google has so brilliantly captured everyone's keystrokes as they enter the internet on-ramp, where people just cannot type in directly, and then therefore they have to be at the mercy of the Google filter system. So there's that. So they just don't know is my what I'm trying to get at. They just don't know.
I don't know about your level of. Oh, I just said I don't know again, and I was looking at the Dave J. I might win a prize or something for.
Well,
this.
He'll give it to you.
Can I claim a new car or something?
He'll give it to you. He'll give you the prize. Dave J's one of your harshest critics, but that means he's one of your biggest fans too. So don't feel bad.
It might be a pox on my. Spiritual homosexual.
You know, the thing is, you're just too modest, farce. Your views, just get your views. Just stand by your views. They're very solid. Don't feel bad.
Well, I wanted to ask you, though, you were talking about counter narratives and whatnot, and people that have widget manufacturer X, they might do some market research on their competition or whatever to see what their level of market penetration is, and you know what they have to do this quarter to catch up or maintain their lead. What's your level of market research into the Fakeology realm? As I'm only here, and as far as I know, Fakeologist, I don't know if I'd say it's the only game in town, but it seems to be the biggest game in town. Do you have any peers, competitors, any other places that people can go to see this sort of, hear this sort of?
Well, IPS is my favorite, and he's extremely consistent. So I go there for all my auto hoax Fakeology programming that I don't do. I don't think there is another level. I don't think there's anywhere else. That's why I do promote IPS, because he does an amazing job. he's really up on his technology, and he really gets esoteric on this, and I really enjoy him for that. And I listen to every one of his shows and have been a patron of his for a couple of years, so I think he's the real deal. There's a couple of things we squabble on, but overall, there's much agreements. Other than that, there's you and I are both listeners of the No Agenda show, and these guys will definitely never stray off their views of shooters and integrated capstone events. They will never cross the line that they are completely staged, but they are entertaining nonetheless, but they just dabble. Well,
they might be an introduction level to some people that have never questioned whether what they're being presented is accurate or whatnot. But even IPS, there's a lot of commingling of users and members or whatever.
Yes.
Between, so that's still a pretty small pond.
Very small, Farce. It's very small. I mean, the fact that you... you're one of the few people that actually have stayed with the Fakeologist for 10 years or so, where others have just dropped off, moved on. Maybe it's not of interest to them anymore, the topic. Maybe I'm not of interest to them anymore, but it's a really small backwater for sure. Are we making inroads? I don't know. Every time the revelation of the independent media gets closer to our way of thinking, you'd think we'd get more listeners. This Trump thing should have kicked it up another notch.
Do you have a way of tracking how many people don't make it past the Dave J. gauntlet?
No.
And, you know, like the SEALs that wash out trying to make it, they come and then they get a couple of harsh reprimands from Dave J. and they just bail and they're gone. I mean, it could be in the thousands for all we know. I have no idea. But yeah, it'd be nice to be able to track things like that.
Well, Dave J. probably has a big list that he's keeping on his own blotter.
Yeah, well, it's probably like a gunslinger's notches on his belt or whatever. So
that's shortfake.com/chat. That's where Dave J is living right now. If you want to know who we're talking about, he's the most talked about person not on the show. And I think you guys have a bit of a back and forth. I think it's fun. I think you're going to both have to get on a podcast pretty soon.
That'll be interesting. I do have a couple of questions, and so maybe that'll happen one of these days.
What else do we have here? Any more in the YouTube chat? By the way, someone is in the FakeoTube chat named... let's show here. His name is I Am The L. And I Am The L. FakeoTube chat is unfortunately not integrated with the chat on the right side of the screen. So I'm sorry, I can't do that. It just doesn't work. And good to see Epic Souls in the chat. But yeah, if you want to be on the screen, you have to log into Twitter or YouTube. Now, I just set up a shortener at shortfake.com/X, and that'll bring you on to the Twitter, my Twitter, and shortfake.com/YouTube. That is my current YouTube channel. All right, guys, that's been about an hour. I really thank you guys for joining in. Been a good show. Thanks for pinch hitting for Mr. Frank the Salt Guy, who's enjoying his winter in Australia in the upside down part of the world. And if you want to talk to Farce Value just off the cuff and casual like, just join in on Saturday morning Eastern time, Toronto time, Austin time, at about 6-7 a.m. Central time. And you can talk to Farce Value and myself and Esoteric and whoever else shows up on the audio chat, shortfake.com/Discord. You'll find that Farce will talk to you about just about anything. And he's pretty good at it, pretty smart about it. And we appreciate Farce Value for joining in. Maybe we'll make it
It's always a pleasure to be here, Ab. Has been.
You are a good man. We appreciate you. So you'll have to come back maybe every other week or something. But bring material in case I go off track.
Well, this hour flew by, actually.
It's been more than an hour, yeah. It's good stuff. We don't disagree on very much, if anything. So maybe chemtrails, but we're not going to talk about that tonight because the show's over.
Well, it has been a little while since we've had a watershed thing like this. This is kind of big.
It is very big, and it's going to keep going. So, yeah. Paulie, thank you for calling in.
In case an answer to your question, it was answered in the chat that not only has there been a quantitative tally of people that may have not made the cut and washed out, it's also been qualitative. So it has been said that you have not lost anyone, quote, worth it.
Okay.
Anybody that didn't stick around wasn't worth it, according to the people that analyze those sorts of things.
Nice. Okay, Farce, we'll see you on the weekend. Thanks a lot.
All right. Have a good evening.
Have a good
night.
Thanks
for having me. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much for joining. I appreciate that. And don't forget, these shows don't make themselves. If you like the show, shortfake.com/donate. $1, $2, whatever you think the show's worth. I really appreciate you making a donation. You can send cash to a P.O. box. Just go to fakeologist.com/donate. And there are a million different ways to donate. And you can donate anonymously. I don't care how you donate. Bitcoin, we also take that. And thank you, everyone, for joining in. We'll see you on the weekend. And I got a couple audios to publish as well. I've got a phone call from the wonderful Aaron in Minnesota. We had a good chat today. We're going to post that. And we had an audio chat today with Meditating is a Habit. If you can't get enough of my voice, and I would, then tune in and go to fakeologist.com/podcast. You'll get more of it. I don't know why you'd want more of it other than this main show here, but some people do. So I really appreciate you guys for listening in. And we will talk to you next time. Have a good night, day, morning, wherever and whenever you're listening. Trump 2.0 is going to be on in a few minutes. Tune in. Have a good night.